Great. Pull out your Bibles and your devotionals, and as you do that, I'd like to introduce to you this morning our guest speaker. He's our junior speaker for the week, so you guys don't get much time with him, but this morning I've invited him to preach, and Pastor Bishop is over there in the juniors and probably telling them all his anaconda stories, and they're all probably like this right now and getting scared. Mr. Wright grew up in my hometown of Michigan City, Indiana, and was a bus kid. How many of you have worked on the bus ministry in your life at some point or another, or have ridden the bus as a bus kid at some point or another in your life? Mr. Wright was saved as a teenager as a result of the bus ministry, and he has worked on a bus route afterwards now for, since 1980. Anybody born around that time? All right. So he's been working on a bus route for quite some time now. I know him not as a bus captain. I know him as my coach. He was my wrestling coach since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, right? And then the boxing coach, and he was a soccer coach. I don't know if he knew how to play soccer, because all we did was sprints. I think he was track and field coach. But yeah, there was a soccer ball somewhere on that field. But he was our coach, and he tried to work with us. I know him as Coach Wright, and he's been on staff at Fairhaven for 30 years. And he works as the college cook. He's the kitchen. So I heard the legend, the myth, that Mount Zion Baptist Camp had the best food in the country. And I tasted it, and I'm no, you know, what do you call those people who have those taste buds that comes print? What's connoisseur? There we go. Thank you. I'm no connoisseur, okay? So I had to invite the kitchen cook. And let me tell you, it's official. We've got the best food in the country. It's official. I saw him taking notes. That's how good it was, okay? I saw him taking notes, and he was getting down a few ideas for the kitchen back at his home. In the summer, he works in the summer day camp ministry that we have been a part of growing up. I was a camper while he was the camp director for 35 years. Mr. Wright's married to Song Soo. Is she here? It's Mrs. Wright right there, and he has three children, many of which you probably know. Two of them, he claims, Esther and Valerie, okay? Those are the two he wanted me to point out. Elisha, he told me not to ask to mention your name, okay? But this is Mr. Wright, and I would like to let him have an opportunity to preach to you this morning.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Amanza. All right. Okay, line up on the line over there. That's why he ran so much. He ran because that's all he could do. And he didn't do a very good job of that. Man, I was like, okay, Pastor, you have to forgive me. I have known him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. And now that he's a bigger grasshopper, he's still a grasshopper. I was about to say hop out of the way, but it's good to be here. I'm glad to be with you today. I haven't been in camp since 1978. It's the last time I was in camp. I'm so glad to be here with all you kids. I love it. And I was a kid then, believe it or not. Stop laughing. I was a kid back then, way back then, and I got an opportunity from my bus captain to go to the wilds. And I don't remember a whole lot of it. I don't remember all the things that we did, but I do remember getting away with my Bible as a young bus kid and opening my Bible and spending some time with God. I do remember that because I was trying. I thought at that time to get to know God. Now, he said something about me having him mention my kids. I don't want to mention my kids. I don't know them. I didn't want to know them this week. Wanted to be away from them, but I am glad that they're here today also. I heard a story about a man that went to prison. And in prison, he went out into the rec yard with some other prisoners. And he sat down next to another inmate. And as they were talking in the rec yard, he was just talking, and one of the inmates said, five. And when that inmate said five, all the inmates in the yard started laughing. He started looking around and said, what's going on? Another inmate said, seven. All the inmates started looking, they just started laughing. Guy's looking around, what's going on? Another one said, six. And the same thing, they just started laughing, carrying on. So back in the cell that night, he said, hey, I'm curious. What? He said, while we were out there in the yard, guys were saying numbers, and people just started laughing. The guy said, yeah. He said, yeah. What does that mean? He said, well, what that means is when a number is called out, each number represents a joke. And the guys in the yard know the joke. And so instead of telling the whole joke, they just say numbers, and everybody starts laughing. What? Yeah, that's what it is. Everybody just starts laughing. Oh, okay. So the next day he goes out into the yard, and everybody's doing things. And he says, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. So he waits for just the right moment. Then he says, six. Nobody did anything. He felt stupid. He didn't say anything else. He got back to the cell. He said, I thought you told me that when I say a number, people will laugh. The guy said, you know how it is. Some people can tell jokes and some people can't. That's why I don't tell jokes. Turn to your Bible to the book of Jude. Jude. It's the last book before Malachi. The book of Jude. Thank you, Pastor Z. Jude, verse number 4. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, thank you for this time that we have together. God, I pray now as we look into your word, I pray that you would meet with us, God, as we've asked. God, I pray, Father, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and speak to these teenagers, speak to us. And I pray, Father, as a result of today, that you draw us closer to you. God, I know that there's some more fallow ground that needs to be broken up in here. And I know, Father, and believe that there's some that still haven't made a decision. Father, they're holding on to something. And I pray, Father, that you would use your word the remainder of the week, God, to continue to break up fallow ground. So, Father, again, meet with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude verse 4. And there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking today about creeping things. Creeping things. When I was in South America years ago, we took a canoe about 2 hours down the Suriname River to Dr. Champlin's mission station. When we got to that mission station, they had built a place for us to stay. Now, if you know anything about Suriname, you know that Suriname has some very large spiders, tarantulas and different types of spiders in that tarantula family, and they're big. Dr. Champlin sent us to our places where we were staying, put our stuff in the room. If you know me, I am a city boy. I'm not afraid of spiders. Not at all. Okay? You know, there's, you know, daddy long legs, you know, little spiders all over the place. We kill them and away we go. I'm not afraid of spiders. But down there, they don't have spiders. What they have down there are men-eaters. Dr. Tipton said, you have to watch out for some of the, I think he called them brown spiders and the tarantulas. Okay, I can watch out for the brown spiders and tarantulas. One morning, we walked out, I woke up, and I walked outside, opened the door, and I walked out, and on the wall of where we were staying, this is no joke, was this massive thing. They called it a spider. There was this massive thing that they called a spider. And I didn't go over to that thing and say, hey, Gucci, Gucci, goo. Hey, buddy. I didn't go over to that thing and pet the thing. I didn't even kill the thing. I stayed away from it. That thing just crept up. And from that time on, I was looking for those things. I looked in the rooms where I was sleeping. You say, why? If you have to ask why, more power to you. I grew up about 1 mile from the Indiana State Prison. Some of the thoughts that I have today come from someone in the prison. I grew up about 1 mile, less than a mile, from the Indiana State Prison. Long story short, I've made a lot of visits to the prison. A lot of visits. And the first time I went to the prison, I'll never forget it. The first time I went into that prison, they did the check. You had to go through a gate. Now, the first gate wasn't that bad. It was a door. But then you had to go through the main gate. You had to go through the main gate. And when you went through the main gate, I always heard stories of people saying, when you go through those gates, when that gate hits behind you, you'll never forget that thought. You'll never forget that sound. And they told the truth. They checked us all out. They made sure we didn't have any drugs, guns, you know, chewing gum, chewing tobacco, or anything like that. And we went through the one door that closed. That was okay. But then we went through the second gate. They made us, they put our hands through some kind of window like this. And some lady behind there, she stamped it. Then she opened the gate. And we walked through the gate. And then she pushed the button. And you heard that thing go, bam, and close. We're talking about break free this week. Let me tell you something, boy, kids. It's not easy to break free. You get in prison. We got this idea that everything is going to be okay and everything is all right. You get in prison. Let me tell you something. You're not breaking out by yourself. And if there's one thing that I know as I talk to guys that are there, and I say, what happened? Why are you here? Good girls, good boys end up in those places. Why are you here? Didn't start off by some big sin. You know what happened? I started off with a little thing. I've been in a Christian realm for a lot of years. Been blessed. As a bus kid, I grew up. got to work for the church, and got to see a lot of kids grow up in the church. Grow up in the church serving God, living for the Lord. When I first started going to school, there was a girl. Her name was Kirsten Snyder. I'm telling you, she was as good as any girl in this room right now. She was as good as any girl in this room right now. As a bus kid, I would go to her, I would ask her questions, and that girl helped me out so much. But I'll never forget, one day I was standing in the back of the auditorium of our church, a bus kid, and here is Kirsten Snyder, the probably the best girl in this youth group. And she came up to me in the back of the auditorium, and she said, "Hey, Todd." "Yes, Todd. How do you do it? How do you just keep living for the Lord?" Little did I know that she had let some little things creep into her life. Little did I know that she had let some pride and some bitterness and some things get into her life. And you know what? After a little while, and I could hardly believe this, a good girl, and here I am, a bus kid and a family of 10, just trying to do right. How can this be? And after a while, that girl left the youth group. She left the school. She left the church with her parents. She destroyed her life. A tragedy. And I wonder how many tragedies are in here today. How many tragedies are we looking at today? You see, the problem with good kids is good kids hide their sin well. You know what the problem with good kids? Good kids don't think they sin. Good kids don't think their sins are that bad. Good kids think, you know what? I can hide behind my mom, and I can hide behind my dad. And you know what? I can just cover these sins. That's the sin of good kids. To good kids, sin is not that bad. But as we heard in that testimony last night, the devil's just wrapping you up. I deal with both kids, both groups of kids. I get the privilege of dealing with both groups of kids. I get to deal with the good kids, and I get to deal with the kids that I really like to deal with, my bus kids. Oh, yeah. I get to deal with the bad kids. I get to deal with the really bad kids. Last Sunday, I had one. I'm telling you, his name is Arnon. Arnon will make you want to throw him. But if you ask Arnon, "Are you bad?" "Mr. Todd, I'm bad." "What's your problem?" "I just need to listen." "Why don't you?" "It's hard." "It's hard." You know, I'm gonna I don't use the word kick off the bus anymore. I use the word suspend. I said, "If you don't turn around and if you don't listen to me, I'm gonna suspend you. Do you want to get suspended from church?" "No, Mr. Todd, I don't want to get suspended from church." So we're going through this with Arnon. And you're dealing with a kid at church. "What's wrong with you?" "Nothing." "How are you doing, John?" "How are you doing?" "Good." "What's wrong with you?" "Nothing." "Do you need some help?" "No." "You're doing good?" "Yes." I'm glad I get to work with both groups. But I understand that there's some things that good kids allow to sneak into their life As we read our verse, we see that these men got into the church, and the Bible says they crept in. They didn't come in waving flags. They didn't come in with big, fancy outfits on. No, the Bible says they snuck in, and you know what? Nobody knew that they were there. Nobody knew that they were there. And for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about some things that are creeping in or have crept in. Things that I deal with. One thing that creeps in is a bad attitude. Everything is great for a teenager as long as nobody is telling you what to do. Everything is great for you as long as you are doing what you want to do. But as soon as someone says, do this, what happens? Boy, here comes that attitude. What happens? They become mean. My girls, when they were in fifth and sixth grade, they used to talk about the older girls in the youth group, the seniors, juniors and seniors, and they would say, Dad, those girls never talk to us. They're always mean to us. They're never kind to us. When we try to talk to them, they're always just talking down to us. And they'll tell you, I said, you remember that. Because one day, you're going to be one of those girls. I said, one day, you're going to be one of those girls. It's horrible when you see girls and boys that have bad attitudes. You say, how do you know if you have a bad attitude? You're just mean. You're rotten to each other. You're rotten to authority. How do you know if you have a bad attitude? You're unthankful. For some teenagers, this is not enough. This is not enough. This camp is not enough. Some are waiting for the next activity. Some are waiting for the next thing. Because we're so unthankful. We're just unthankful. Boys. How many boys? And I know who's here. There's boys in here that can skin a cow. You can hang up a pig by its toes. I mean, there's some rough and gruff boys. How many boys hunt? Yeah. I mean, you some deer killers. Some of you don't have enough guts to write, Mom, thank you, have a good day, and leave it on a counter for her. You take that Bowie knife, where'd it go? I don't. Filet knife? Okay, that's what you use in the kitchen. Boy, you can slit that pig, and boom! Boy, you can get it. Go write your mom a thank you note. I got the palsy. I can't do that. I got the palsy. You're unthankful. You're uncaring. You're sloppy. Your attitudes are rotten. You don't care when... You know what? You know how to take care of that? Do what you're supposed to do when nobody is watching. We heard a great message from Brother Montgomery Sunday night about love. Love acts when nobody is watching. When nobody is watching. It's easy to get up and go do something when everybody's watching so somebody can pat you on the back. You know what love is? Love is doing something. Caring is doing something when nobody is watching. When nobody says thank you. When nobody shows you that they care back. We get bitter. Our attitudes cause us to become bitter. And let me tell you something, kids. Bitterness is a horrible disease. If you feel yourself getting bitter, I'm a coach, and I say it like this. If you feel yourself getting bitter, you find you the best pair of track shoes. You put those track shoes on, and when you see yourself getting bitter, you run as fast as you can away from that bitterness. You run to your mom, you run to your dad, you run to your youth pastor, you run to your pastor, you run from it. If you let bitterness grab a hold of you, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. Then there's rebellion. We get a bad attitude of rebellion. The Bible teaches us that rebellion is as a sin of what? Witchcraft. I was in the dorm when I was in college. The kid named Norm Derry. I got off of work about 11 o'clock at night. When I got into the dorm, and it was dark, everybody's going to sleep, I got back to the dorm, and Norm met me at the door. Hey, Norm, how you doing? Hey, good. Todd, can I talk to you? Sure. Todd, I'm having problems. Really? What kind of problems are you having? Says, Todd, let me tell you. When I was back at home, in my room, he said, sometimes at night when we would sleep, I would wake up, and when I woke up, the windows were coming, the rake going up and down. What? The windows were going up and down. Really? He said, Todd, sometimes when I was laying down on my bed, I would feel myself levitate off. This is the truth. I would feel myself levitate off the ground, off the bed. Norm, it's 11:30 at night. Windows up and down, levitating off the bed. Houses flying too. I said, Norm, I'm not the person for you to talk to. You need to go talk to Dr. Chaplin. He was there at the time. He was in Suriname. He was a missionary that dealt with that stuff. I said, I don't deal with this stuff. You go talk to him. You say, what was that? That's witchcraft. Go clean your room. Oh, man. Okay, this is an older group. Have you prayed about what God wants you to do? Is what you've decided to do in your life, is it what God wants you to do? Get off me, man. Get off me, man. The Bible says that's as a sin of witchcraft. That's as a sin of witchcraft. You know what sneaks in? A bad attitude. Number two, pride sneaks in. Pride sneaks in. Second Chronicles chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. When a person is prideful, they are directly telling God that they're responsible for the good and not God himself. Look what Uzziah said. The Bible says, but when he was strong, in verse number 16, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. I won't tell the story, but here's the point. The Bible says when his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And here's what we let creep into our lives. We let this sin of pride creep into our lives. We have this attitude. I deserve this. Because of your pride, you say, I deserve this. Why do they get to do that? Why can't I do that? Pride. It's not fair. Is that you? It's pride. Look at me. You're lifting yourselves up and not God. And the Bible tells us that that pride will destroy us. All throughout the Bible, and I know you know the Bible, all throughout the Bible we have stories of people that got lifted up in pride. And what happened? This boy in our youth group, his name was Keith. His father was the chairman of the deacon board. He was a leader. But with Keith, nobody could tell him what to do. Nobody could tell him what to do. He said, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Keith just died a couple years ago. He's an alcoholic. And his son died from drugs. That's what pride does. And if you don't allow God to break up your fallow ground, kids, if you don't allow God to break up your fallow ground, you know what's going to happen? Satan's just going to keep wrapping you up. He's going to keep wrapping you up. What else creeps in? Worldliness creeps in. Worldliness creeps in. Now, I know some of the worldliness that's in our homes is not your fault. Some of the worldliness that's in our homes is our parents' fault. I understand that. But not all of the worldliness that is in our homes is our parents' fault. Some of the worldliness that is in our homes is your fault. Hey, dude. What's up, dude? Hey, dude. Hey, man, we're going. What's up, man? What's up, man? We cool, man. Come on, man. Oh, you say, Mr. Wright, I don't do that. But what about that smartphone that you have in your room? What's worldly on that thing? What are you watching on it that's worldly? Oh, you got that iPad, that little iPod 3-touch with a G-screen. Oh, it's got 18 megabytes. It's the greatest thing in the world. Have you read your Bible? What Bible? Oh, no. I can read the Bible on this KS9 player. The devil is so smart. You know what he's done? He's crept in. He's crept in. Yes, some of it may be your parents' fault, but how much of it is your fault? How much of it is your fault? I can stand up here and say, you know what? I don't want any worldliness in my house. I try to get it all out. But that doesn't mean my kids are. They have to guard. They have to pray. They have to read their Bible. They have to be on guard. Because you know what's outside their door? There's a spider. Listen to me, good kids. There's a spider outside your door. And it's worldliness. And it's trying to get in. Look what it's done to our country. Some of you kids tell your parents, I gotta have it. whatever the latest thing is. Maybe it's clothes. I gotta dress like this. Now, maybe this is not for you kids, but I know my bus kids. That's their thing, man. They got, girls have got to dress down. Girls are not, they call themselves dressing up. They call themselves dressing up, but you know what they are doing in reality? They're dressing down. Worldliness creeps in. Another thing that creeps in is bad friends. I like them. Is that what you say? Your parents say, stay away from those kids. I like them. Let me ask you, are you one of the kids that parents are telling their kids to stay away from? I don't want to embarrass my kids, but I tell them. I don't blame a parent. If my kids are bad, I wouldn't blame a parent for telling their kids to stay away from you. I wouldn't blame them. Run from them. Get away from them. But I'm just trying to help them. It's always the bad ones that make the good ones go bad. It's always the bad ones that make the good ones go bad. You become goof-offs. I know you think about Samson. What did Samson do? He had some good friends, didn't he? Number five, music. Music creeps in, don't it? I like music now. But when my kids were little and they were doing instruments, I didn't like music. They did the piano and the violin, the viola, and let me tell you something, the trumpet, and it was horrible. And I had a rule. They couldn't practice. I mean, this is how bad it was. I'm sorry. Parents, don't get mad at me. But I had a rule that they couldn't practice when I was home. I love my wife. Thank God for wives, because she endured it.
Mississippi hot dog, Mississippi hot dog.
Horrible. No, worse than horrible. A couple times I would go in the house and I would hear, I would say, Sucks, what are they doing? What is that? We were on vacation and went into a couple of churches. And they had a praise and worship team. And it was CCM music. And they started playing some of the stuff. And I started like, Oh, yeah. I said, we got to go. We need to go. Because it's dangerous. Can it affect me? Oh, yeah, it can. Can it get me to move? Oh, yes, it can. Can it get me to turn my focus away from God? Oh, yes, it can. Music is powerful. It's dangerous if it's not right. And yet some of you have let it creep in. Now, I would imagine there's too many kids in here listening to rock music. I wouldn't listen. I can imagine there's too many kids in here listening to rap music. Now, if I had some bus kids in here, I would, okay. But with this group, I wouldn't say that there's very many kids in here listening to that stuff. But you listen to some questionable music, don't you? What has crept in? You know what it's done? It's caused you to lose your focus for Jesus. And that's what it'll do. The last thing, then I'll be done. You know what creeps in? Bad thoughts. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. bad thoughts. You know why some of the guys that are in prison? Because stuff was conceived up here. Stuff was conceived right up here. I know a lot of guys in prison. I don't say that as a mantra. Our basketball team was playing ball at the prison. And once we came down into the gym, and this happened every time I was there. Hey. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Todd, come here. You remember me? Are you Baldy? Yeah. That was what we called him. What are you doing here? I got 65 years. Walking down the steps one time, another guy said, hey, remember me? I used to ride your buses from Glen Park. What are you doing here? A bad mind. David walked out on that balcony, didn't he? And he looked. He turned around. But listen to me, that wasn't the first time. He let a bad mind creep in. And you know what happened, don't you? That bad mind destroyed his life. That bad mind destroyed his life. You have to guard your mind, kids. And if you're having a hard time with your mind, turn whatever you have to turn off, turn it off. You're too precious to God to lose your mind. You're too precious to God. God wants to use you, kids. There's a great work to do. But yet some of us allow the bad mind to creep in. There's spiritual battles going on. Spiritual battles. And what Christ wants us to do is Christ wants us to live in the Spirit. You say, how can I have victory? Turn with me and I'll be done. And I'm done. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5. The Bible says, verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not what? Fulfill the what? Let's all say it together. Fulfill the? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us what? Let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're saved, you should be walking in the Spirit. What is the Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's a lot for you to work on, isn't it? Put something there in your Bible. You say, man, I just don't have anything to do. Okay, start working on the fruits of the Spirit. And start going down them one by one. And then go out and work on that one. Start working on the fruit of the Spirit. You say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Start working on the fruits of the Spirit. Some of us have let some things creep in. You're just getting wrapped up. Don't be a tragedy. God has already won the victory for you, but you have got to do what you're supposed to do. Some of you won't do business with God because you're afraid. Some of you won't give in because you're afraid. You're the type of people. You don't want to get out of prison. You know there's men in prison that don't want to get out. They want to stay in. These men know this. There's men in prison that when they get out, not very long, guess where they're going to be? Where are they going to be? they're going to be right back in. Some of us in here. Deal with something that's crept in. Deal with your sin. Ask God to help you with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. God, thank you for your word. God, this matter of creeping things. Father, I pray that you would help us, God, to claim the victory that's already ours. But God, these kids need to do business with you. And I pray, Father, that you would keep working on them. I know that's what it is. It's a matter of you working on them. So, Father, I pray, Father, that there will be some victories this week. Whether with what Pastor Bishop preached last night and Pastor Amanza. God, I pray that there will be some victories. God, because of you. And God, we want to give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed, eyes closed, no one talking, I ask you to stand at your seat. God has dealt with your heart. You come and do business right now. You come and do business with me. Something's crept in. Something's creeping in. Something's creeping in. Music. Friends, worldliness. Having a hard time with that computer. You're having a hard time listening to your parents. You're having a hard time. What's creeping in? Why don't you come and do business with God? That fallow ground has got to be broken up. God is dealing with your heart. You come.
That it's been a long time since I've shown my parents a thankful attitude. I may have said thank you, but when's the last time have you expressed that? How many of you say, I'd be willing to say, that's one thing I need to work on, showing a thankful attitude. Would you raise your hand? How many of you would say, I'm one of those seniors that don't invest in the fifth and sixth graders? Maybe it's this week in camp. Maybe you haven't talked to a junior. Maybe you haven't stopped and asked them how they're doing. How are they enjoying it? You would say, boy, that was brought to my attention, and that's something that I need to work on. I need to make sure that I don't think myself as better than them or superior than them. Would you raise your hand? That's me. How many of you would say, the attitude of worldliness is creeping in? Creeping in. I'm not saying it's written across your forehead like a billboard. I'm saying it's creeping in. That's it. Something that maybe you think that you have and you like it because it's cool. But the Lord smote your heart and he revealed to you that no matter what it is, it's your desire, it's your lust for worldliness. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. There's some things creeping in. See hands cross the building. These things that creep into your life are the things that was preached about. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to keep these little things in your life big before they turn really big. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we love you, and I pray that you would help us to stay far away from these little things that creep in, especially these attitudes. And I thank you, Lord, for the message. I thank you for the attention that the teenagers had this morning. And Lord, I thank you that we've had a great time in camp, and I ask that you bless the remainder in Jesus' name. Amen.